Blog Talk Radio.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity You are now listening live and in archive to The Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, universal, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils. For it is all just an illusion and a test. Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to The Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils. For it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my works along this divine, all blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I began and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Thursday, August 16th, 2012, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Emeka, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, enchanted, and most haunted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. I appreciate and am honored by your continued support here live at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, and always in archive at your leisure. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to assist you moving forward. And as always, I can be reached 24 hours a day, virtually 7 days a week, 365 days a year, by way of my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And do recognize that you can listen to and enjoy the broadcast, both live as well as in archive, in the temple room of my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Truly, all is indeed a blessing. I am sort of operating off script today, Spirit has laid a powerful message on my heart that I've been meditating and contemplating and internalizing for myself. And it is at a place now where I must share the news. We often seek, as we talked about yesterday, hoodoo, voodoo, obeah, magical practices for remedies to the ills of life. And based on where you are in your understanding, in your inner standing, this plays a role in the type of things that we seek and desire. So it's more than just the $300 million Powerball game. It's more than just the love and the relationship. But it's about healing. And we're in a time now where we need and desire healing more than ever before. And there are many levels and layers to healing. Emotional healing, spiritual healing, financial healing, community healing, societal healing. But not enough light and love and projection is given to healing within these walls of spirituality and religion. So I want to talk today about time healing, keeping within our ongoing series about the metaphysics of time. And today we want to talk about healing and how time plays a role in healing, but also in how time can play a role in our dis-ease and how to unify all the components to bring holistic, empowering, transformative anointing in the realm of healing. Many people seek New Orleans for healing. Some of you may not have known that. Some of you may question, well, why? There's healing in the water. There's healing in the Mississippi. There's healing in the Gulf. There's healing in the red clay and the mud. There's healing in the plants and the vegetation and the fruit and the herbs. There's healing in the weather. There's healing in the people and the people who maintain a connection to healing by way of their ancestors, our ancestors, collectively and individually. So in keeping with our understanding of time, today we want to talk about healing. We've heard the cliche, time heals all wounds. And indeed, there is a foundation of truth in that philosophy. But often, truths come with details. Truths can be profound and general. The truths can have many levels of access and understanding and connection. So in all things, we acknowledge time. And in African traditional religions, we acknowledge time in one way, by acknowledging our ancestors, those who've come before, those who've laid a foundation, those who've laid a path, those who've done and seen and crystallized, if you will, their experience, their knowledge, their information for generations after them. Healing. We can go back to a time here in America where healing, if you will, was only available to us through the two-headed doctors and the conjure men and women and the mambos and the evangelists and the priests and priestesses that existed secretly and underground within our individual community. The hospital was not available to us. The doctor was not readily available to us. We're talking about a time when the church would not have been readily available to us. And it is in this harsh, depraved environment that the healing traditions of Obia and Hoodoo developed. The basic understanding of what Hoodoo and Obia are is healing in spirit. There are components of defense. There are components of protection. There are components of retaliation. There are components of justice within these traditions, naturally. But there are aspects of healing. But the foundation, the root of the root work is healing. And healing by way of nature. All traditional paths within ATR, Ifa, Lakombi, Candomblé, Palo, Hoodoo, Voodoo, Obia, all rely 80% of their work on nature. Herbs, roots, plants, minerals, mud, water, things that only God and nature produce. What we can cultivate, we can collect, we can farm, we can garden, but they belong to Mother Earth and to us collectively through our ancestors. It is from the soup of Earth that we come, and it's to this soup that we ultimately return to further the cycle that is healing. In this society where we've been forced into linear time, we often confront healing in a very linear way. Whereas healing is more circular, more spherical, more encompassing than just point A to point B. We heal by eating properly. We heal by drinking properly. We heal by exercise. We heal by prayer and meditation. We hear by laughter and joy. We heal by sadness and tears. So healing is a circular, cyclical process. Often in healing, we have to give something in our receiving. We have to share something in our request and application for assistance from the spirit realms and the realms of medicine. It is a process of give and take and balance. So in bringing healing, not only to ourselves on an individual level, but also on a collective and communal level. We must regain our understanding of giving. And bring balance to the receiving. We are doing damage to nature, to our bodies, and then finding artificial remedies to mass symptoms linearly without focusing on the cyclical process. Preventing the reoccurrence, preventing the presence of the dis-ease and imbalance in the first place. We often address a problem after it becomes a problem. Our preparation skills need some work. Our being ready for skills need some work. And there are many reasons for this. Quite a few of them by design that we would otherwise not be prepared, not have time to maintain a balance because there are now corporations and financial entities that have an investment in our disease and our illness and our sickness. There's no concern about unoppressed people rising up who are otherwise too sick to war, otherwise too sick to come together without confrontation, otherwise too sick to maintain families and friendships and communities and collectives and organizations that can work together, can and do work together for the betterment of health for all. Long term. My water is your water. My earth is your earth. My air is your air. We share in its health. We also share in its continued pollution. So it is in bringing balance that we regain our true, authentic connection to healing. Today we're going to talk about time healing on the Power Lunch, Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, High Potion, and Hoodoo Central on Blog Talk Radio. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I will be more than happy to assist you moving forward, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Ashe. Thank you. Development of the human body and its parts, its teeth and its bones can, with the right knowledge and science and awareness, dictate and mark and represent time. The rings in a tree represent time. There are particular variety of clear quartz called phantom crystals, which mark time. Like the rings in a tree, you see varying levels of points, if you will, and planes of the crystal from previous times, now enveloped into the new crystal, the new manifestation, creating what we call a phantom quartz, which are incidentally powerful pieces for connecting and healing time. Trees and phantom quartz crystals. Time is a connection between space, location, and consciousness. We've talked about in previous shows that we are now moving away from linear time. Arisha, leave that alone. We are now moving away from linear time to a more space-time continuum, to a more space-time awareness. So both location and consciousness work together to make what we understand to be time. So time is a vibration, if you will, within the liquid, the fluidity of life. Events that happen to us in a younger age, in previous years, leave a mark on us physically as well as emotionally, marking time. So though we don't, as of yet, have the full understanding of time travel on a physical, necessarily a physical manifestation, we can and do naturally have access to time by way of spirit and consciousness. Our ability as humans to go back and forward in time within our consciousness is evidence of our ability to operate within the realms of time and space. There are many therapeutic, healing, ritual practices in many cultures that relate directly to time and time healing. But for not to overcomplicate things and not to digress, which some of you know I'm capable of doing, I'm going to try and keep it within a specific frame of reference. And today we're going to deal within the realm of hoodoo, New Orleans voodoo, and Obia. We must be first cognizant of time in order to have an effect on it in any real conscious way. An example of that is in a court proceeding when the witness is asked to elaborate on an event, and that event is specific to a time. Often the attorneys or the judge will ask, you know, well, how do you know that that is what time it was when that event was occurring? Because often, as humans, when we're in the midst of something, especially something profound, something dramatic, we tend to lose all conceptual connection with time. Some even report time slowing down. Others report time speeding up. You know, my life flashed before my eyes. It happened so quickly, I couldn't remember certain very basic, simple details. Then there is the experience of having been through some event, some time and space marking event, both positive and negative, you know, a wedding, the birth of a child, the day you receive a large sum of money, you know, something that marks a vibration, sends a wave out in the continuum that you take notice and reference to, and you then use that as a reference point moving forward for placement of time. So this works both ways, not only in terms of healing and time, but also projection of time. When we enter a project, let's use college, university. The goal is to go to enter college with a vision, a goalpost, if you will, that marks time for us. And often we have it already mapped out, you know, first semester, first year, second year. There's an order of things, but that order represent an assumed or an approximated representation of time. Now, that's not to say that you may go in and do extra hours, extra credits, community service, you know, extra course here, extra course there, which affects all of our perception of time on an individual level. So one might actually have completed before the next, yet we're all graduating, we're all walking the stage at a set ceremony given its own place and time. So we are all experiencing time at different places naturally. That's why time and location now are being scientifically tied together. My clock says 12:39. Your clock might say 12:39. But we are not experiencing the same time because we are not occupying the same space. Arisha and I are in the same room, but we are still not occupying the same space of time because we cannot share physically within the same realm of space. However, spiritually, metaphysically, psychically, we have access to all space, just as God has access to all space within that realm of understanding, within that dimension. So for us, being both human and spirit, being both man and woman and God, we have to work extra hard to not only maintain the balance between those two different dimensional places, but also in terms of how we relate to time. There's a scripture in the Bible, and I can't think of where it is right now, you know, the chapter, the book, all that kind of stuff. But it makes mention of a day for us might seem like, you know, 24 hours, but for God, and of course I'm not reading verbatim, but it's something along those lines. But for God, it might be 1,000. You know, a minute for us might be 60 seconds. A minute for God might be 100 years. Again, understanding scientifically that time and location are connected. So it might be 12:40 here on the ground. But if I were able to just rise now into the sky, each new place, new location, new distance represents another layer of time. So it's not the same. So spiritually, we have to first be able to have some proficiency in meditation and consciousness to begin to have a profound effect on time. Now, there's simpler ways that we deal with time. You know, you bake a cake, you make cornbread, you set a timer, you know you're going to mix a certain amount of ingredients together and there's going to be a certain amount of time, ding, and you go back and you take it out of the oven. So understanding how we interact with time, it can be very simplistic, but it can also be very complex. So I will often go back and forth for clarity to keep us all on the same page. So we take that knowledge, that awareness, into our spirit realm, into our spirit work, into our meditation. For me, a part of the healing came with me having to go back and piece things together. As we said earlier, in the heat of the moment, we sort of become disconnected from time. Things speed up, things slow down, we get a very different perception of time in the heat of the moment. Good or bad. Same thing if it's a positive event, roller coaster ride, a sporting event. You know, in the heat of that moment, we are suspended in time as things happen. So for me, in terms of healing, I had to go back and bring the past back in my meditation. I had to go back and carefully remember what I could remember, rethink through what I could rethink through, reexamine events. And then I had to bring that outside myself. You know, I had some conversations with people in my family. I had some conversations with others who may have been present or involved or may have had information or, you know, in order to help to sort of piece together time. And then you come to understand that everybody has a different perception of events, just as everyone has a different perception of time. and what time is and how that works. You notice for children, time moves very slow for children. You know, you say wait 5 minutes, mommy, daddy will get it. You know, that 5 minutes might seem like an eternity for a child. Smaller person, remember, location, space, time. Size of a child in relation to their experience to the world gives them a perspective that time is much longer, much more infinite than for us older folk. Some of us feel the clock ticking a little bit more assuredly than the younger person. Bigger, taller, and I'm not necessarily talking about your physical composition, but where you are in relation to consciousness and space and place changes as we mature and as we get older, and how we view our place in the world should change. And I say should change because we all know that we're different people in different places and different times. So that manifestation only mirrors our awareness. My reality is a direct reflection of my belief, my understanding. Positive people are generally going to be positive no matter what the weather is. There's no such thing as being a positive person, but she made me go off. She made me lose my cool. She made me act out of character. She made me do something foreign from me. And in all scenarios, we're authentic. As much as we sort of toss that word around, in all scenarios, you're authentic, even in the midst of the lie, because it represents a part of who you truly are. Now, the fact that you don't allow that surface every day, that's something else, but it's still an extension of who you are. We empathize and sympathize with people and with scenarios and situations and children and pets and elderly, because we can identify our own self. We can see ourselves in that place and that time on some level. Otherwise, there would be no real connection. You know, some people have absolutely no connection to animals, have absolutely no connection to nature. Who couldn't tell a blade of grass from a dandelion? Some people have absolutely no connection to it's just a rock. Crystal, gem, mineral, it's all Greek to them. So all of this science is relative upon your awareness, your knowledge. And there's a trick there. Me and the goddess were discussing this the other day. There's a trick there because you often, someone said, I'm not sure right now who said it, it's been repeated over and over so many times. Susie Orman, somebody said it. You generally only grow as far as your 10 closest friends, family, confidants, the people you spend the most time with. So people at a certain level of education, people at a certain level of income, people with a certain vision, a shared vision of reality, tend to cluster together. That's natural, it's scientific, but it's also magical. If you can really understand that and put that to work for you. I know we're all familiar with Abraham and, you know, all the new age commercialized packaged workshops that teach you about positive thinking and, you know, moving forward and, you know, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, if you cannot put these principles to practice at the most basic level in our lives, then might as well all be Greek. Place and time are interconnected. Orisha, please leave your Maya alone, okay? Ashe. All these things are interconnected. our altar spaces, our ritual work, not only mark time, mark location, because remember that time, place can be separated. It ties us to the past and to the future, but to a very set, specific, conscious place, time, and space, and future. If you're aware, now naturally there are many who are practicing various religions, various paths of awareness, operating from a very limited perspective of awareness. And we've talked about this before. It's one of the blessings and one of the curses of the internet, the availability of information. But there's no one there to sort of guide you to what is true and what is not, what is real and what is not, what is practical and what is not, how that information transforms into action. We can all find Ori online, Ori, our highest level of consciousness, that connects us to God in the realms of spirit, if you will. But when it comes to the actual practice, that is a very hard to put into word concept. Just as with most things in magic, we're using a collection of symbols along with nature, you know, our herbs, our roots, our chemical processes, our mixes, but we're also using a certain set of understanding to imbue the work with its magic. A crystal, like I said, is just a stone to one person. Man, you've given me a computer if you give me a crystal. You've given me a healing gift for many years to come if you gift me with a crystal. Because that's where my level of awareness is about we're operating with. The man who can trash Earth versus the man who values Earth is based on his level of awareness about what Earth is and his connection to it. And it's harder to destroy something you feel a connection to. You know, you hear stories about people being victimized, being robbed, kidnapped, or worse. And the question is asked, well, what did you do in the midst of that to survive? And often you will hear, I connected with the person who was trying to do me harm. I knew it would be harder for them to victimize me if they saw me as human. If they saw me as equal to them in some way, if they saw some level of connection to my experience and their experience, some marker in time. It is the fuel behind why we have various religious groups, various secret societies, various paths that, you know, profess to have all power and all knowledge. The different and varying places of our understanding. And for me, that's a very profound thing to even think about. And I know I'm digressing just a little bit, so forgive me. Because I've been, you know, tossing over and over. In fact, I did a post on yesterday on Facebook. Was it yesterday or was it this morning? Give me just a second here. Some pursue happiness, others create it. I want to talk about that a little bit too. But that's not the post that I'm referring to. I'm referring to the post with the elder that I posted 16 hours ago on Facebook. A part of getting older is when you are coming around the bend. And you have already seen the train tear through and destroy an earlier crossroads. And you're blowing your horn and you're speaking in tongues. And then you realize you can throw up signs and symbols and billboards and smoke signals. And some people still will not see you, still will not see the approaching train. and you just keep trying to hail them anyway. And this is something that I was meditating on, thinking about, and I wrote it down, and I shared it actually with one of my godchildren on Facebook. I don't know if she wanted me to call her name, so I'm not going to call her name, but somebody on Facebook and I, we were talking about it in private on a chat, and I was actually working this out, and then I posted the picture and I posted, you know, the parable, if you will. But it represents my journey. I'm reluctant to say challenge because it is my ebbo. Our challenges, if you will, our sacrifices, our journey is our ebbo in Lakomi, in Ifa. It is the exchange. It is the payment of energy for ultimate manifestation. So whatever I give, whatever I journey, whatever I suffer, whatever I sacrifice, is part of the blessing. It's tied directly to the blessing. Baba Ifa Fakin was trying to explain that yesterday on Ifa Wednesdays, if you want to go back in the archive, about the difference between struggle and challenge in Western culture and its religious systems and the systems that it has had an effect on versus Pan-African-based traditions that are practiced as authentically as possible. The African concept of even what challenge is, what struggle is, what sacrifice is, it's very different. One of the most common ways I can explain it is by farming. To one person, the digging and the labor and the fertilizer and seed and making sure the pH balance and all that stuff is a labor. But to a true farmer, to a true gardener, to a true reaper who knows that my planting of seeds are, this one seed is going to produce me a tree with 50 fruit, 100 fruit, then the labor becomes a joy. And in Ifa, in Lakomi, and in Santeria, we call that Ebo. Another example, when you come and you consult with us for reading, within the tradition, now some of you consult with me and all you want is a reading, we're not doing Ifa. We're not doing Lakomi. You know, someone talked about Lakomi and then the next breath I heard tarot. That's not Lakomi. In these traditions, we read with cowry and we read with palm shell based on your path and your level of expertise. But with that definition comes a parable, some advice, some details that relate specifically to your specific request so that you know Spirit is talking directly to you. But it also comes with an ebbo. And sometimes it's a challenge to get people to understand you can't get all of that in a free 3-minute reading. You're calling, you're asking your question, you're putting in your request. As soon as that money runs out, you're gone before you even get the full understanding, which is why I often, in writing, when I respond back to you, suggest you send me a formal request so that we can exchange a greater deal of information. Or call me, but be prepared for the fullness of Spirit to speak. But before I get too far off, with the reading comes an ebbo. That is separate from your offering to the practitioner. That is separate from, you know, what they may have asked you to bring for the ceremony, for the reading. Because when you're doing these readings traditionally, and I'm trying not to get into a whole lot of extra information here, there are certain other items that you bring for several different reasons within the reading. Some to ward off certain things, some to draw certain things, some to rebalance certain things, you know, a variety of things. And I'll talk about it in detail on another show. But after the reading is done, there is an ebbo, which is done. It could be a cleansing, a purification. It could be a ritual. It could be a foreleg. It could be a ceremony that you must now initiate into. It could be a deity now that you must placate, that you must have some relationship with. That is the ebbo. It may be some journey you need to take, some sacrifice you need to take, some work you need to do within your community or within somebody else's community that's tied directly to the result and the situation that's being read into, that's being asked about, that's being addressed. The brother called in yesterday about being introduced into Lukumi and having had some very basic ceremonies done, but now existing in an environment where he's trying to further that and keep that going, where no one else is practicing that. And I suggested that, yes, that's a challenge. There's some things you need to do to address that, but it's also your ebbo. It's also part of the bride price, if you will, that you pay for the power and the ashe, the blessing that is and that is to come. So in healing time, we've got to consider the place, consider the details, but then raise that to a vibration, a seed, if you will, for further manifestation, for further result. I want to take just a brief intermission. I will be forward with more of the Power Lunch, Hoodoo Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potion, and Hoodoo Central here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember that my live listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or a request, press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I will be more than happy to assist you. There are several people always on the line, as it is today. Just at your leisure, feel free to press number 1, and I'll be more than happy to address you. Remember that all is indeed and truly a blessing. Ashe. Thank you.
Thank you.
And a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. We're talking about time healing, past, present, and future, because indeed all time exists in the now and the present. Our access to our magical moment, if you will, in order to affect and have time, have an effect and have a relation on time is now in this present moment. When we talk about time healing, we're talking about healing on a much deeper level than just get well, than just take this pill and call me in the morning. We're talking about really getting at the root of a dis-ease and transforming that thing. I say transforming because when we look at time in relation to past time in the linear sense that we understand time, we cannot correct the past. I can never go back and change my last year of high school. I can never go back and change, you know, the year I was born in or things on that level. But I can go back and change patterns and vibrations that can affect continued outcomes based on events of the past. There are many reasons for sickness and dis-ease, many of them rooted in past behavior, past events, past diet, past exposure. You know, number of adjectives can be added after the word past. Often, we cannot pinpoint specifics to a science in terms of how we gain certain diseases, certain imbalances. But we can operate within a generalized realm of awareness, and I say awareness, depending on our awareness of that specific thing, that specific dis-ease, we have to know what it is that we're confronting. And as a spiritualist, that's where the meditation, the transcendental meditation, the going back, the therapy comes into play. We have to go back to the best of our awareness and our ability and reexamine what it is we're dealing with in order to come up with the remedy. Now, in hoodoo, not only do we do a reading on any work, but then you also read in on the causes, location, and the remedy. That science, that basic pattern of formula is present in all ATR traditions, whether you know it or not, whether you've been educated on it or not, but it's there. There are certain things in your pots, in your implements, that represent markers in time. Sometimes that's symbolized by dirt from a specific location or rocks from a specific location, which hold a specific ashe, a specific energy that is conducive to balance within the work. Whether that work is an ebo, a ritual, an implement, a pot, an inganga, whatever the cause for is. So being able to recognize where we pick up things can be important. And the level of awareness necessary to do that on a consistent level is great. So we put certain things into place. We wash our hands when we come out of the restroom, before we go into the refrigerator, before we go in, you know, to the kitchen. We should wipe our feet, you know, when we come into the house. Remove your shoes. We have no shoes on here. You know, things that we can do in routine, always, consistently, without having to always focus in on smaller details. We do the exact same thing in terms of how we operate ritually. Some of our work is prophylactic to prevent things from coming, to prevent things from becoming a problem, to prevent things from developing. Some of our work provides remedy. We have an urgent situation. We have a situation we can no longer deal with or cannot find a solution for. That's creating an imbalance. That's creating a dis-ease. Okay, we need a remedy. And then we have those things that have to be consistently fed and placated within balance to keep down negative occurrences. Some of our ancestral work, some of the things that we do in Egun and Egungun, and how we operate within the realm of the dead, signify this level of understanding. In Voodoo, we don't invite Gede. We don't have altar for Gede. We don't call Gede. Gede just comes. So it is built within the tradition that Gede is placated in a specific way at specific times in order to keep Gede peaceful and from causing havoc. In certain West African and African traditions, in Kemet, there were things that we did to not only provide for in the afterworld, but to prevent the spirit from returning angrily, returning begrudgingly, returning to avenge something and not being at peace and moving forward. And we can find examples of this understanding in many paths, in many traditions, in many ways. But the necessity for marking time, we mark time in our prayer life. You know, there's certain things that I do immediately upon waking up in the morning. I can be half asleep, and it's a certain set of things that I'm going to do regardless, without any extra effort, because it's become a part of routine, a way of marking time, a prophylactic for warding off, but also nurturing a seed for continued and future manifestation. There's an order. We all now are familiar with, in this modern society, with feng shui, at least in some generalized way. You know, the placement of where things are affects energy in your space, qi, which ultimately affects outcome. This is not new. You know, this is African. This is Kemetic. You know, all you have to do is open your eyes and just look. I post a lot of pictures. Some of you are here because of the pictures. There are things that I don't have to say because of the pictures. And that's why people's libraries are being burnt. That's why people's DVDs and laptops are being stolen, and journalists and photographers and people are being harmed to protect information. Books are good, and books give us text and give us information and give us knowledge and give us awareness and give us science and all those things. But ultimately, the book has an author, just as a photograph has a photographer. And there's a certain interpretation that's implanted automatically into the meat of the material. But then there are certain things visually that transcend words, manipulation, control, that just are. You see it. Everybody sees it. Naturally, we still process things based on our awareness, where we are, what we think we know, what we think we understand, what we think we see, what we think we're looking at. But then there are other things which pass through the filters and the guardsmen and penetrate the consciousness. And that's why many cultures, you know, Islamists are now destroying Timbuktu. It ain't enough that it's been written about, talked about for decades now, but they have to destroy the imagery. They have to destroy the visual for you, because it's that visual that supports manifestation and continued manifestation. If you can see it, you can believe it. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. So if I can go back and destroy Timbuktu, I destroy effectively your connection to the past. Excuse me. And then your connection to the future. Because the evidence that this is possible, that this was possible, that this was done, that this did exist, that this was evident, is no longer visible to you. So that now makes it much easier for the bad man to corrupt the information. We can always now go back and say, well, the author was incorrect. Well, the author didn't consider this, and the author didn't consider that, because we no longer have the visual before us. And thank goodness for some technology, we have a lot of what was and is Timbuktu, you know, forever in the Internet, forever in people's hard drives and photos and books and, you know, be grateful for that. But to destroy your ability to even see beyond a set time, a set place, because they go hand in hand. Time and place go hand in hand. Is to effectively destroy your ability to create and recreate and dream and manifest now and forward into the future. So it's important in time healing, also in time and healing, that we understand structure, place, order, organization, patterns, rhythms, grids. This whole other show. I could, you know, we talk about crystal grids and other types of grids. How your altar is set up in your house is a grid. How they are arranged in your house is a grid. How they relate to each other and the people that pass them and come in contact with them are a grid. All we have to do is look back to Kemet. All we have to do is look back to Egypt. The pyramids aren't randomly placed. The Sphinx isn't randomly placed. The obelisks weren't randomly placed. The temples in Ethiopia weren't, and Lalibah weren't randomly placed. There's a structure, there's an order which reinforces a vibration, which reinforces a pattern, which reinforces a vision, which produces magic, which produces an ultimate manifestation. Someone else and I earlier were talking today about illness, sickness, disease, and the danger of going on feeling. Oh, well, I don't feel depressed. Oh, well, I don't feel diabetic. I'm diabetic. You may or may not feel like you got high blood pressure right now, but you may be someone with hypertension. You know, we have to be very careful with our words, how we use our words, what we reinforce with our words, because they mark place and they mark time, which ultimately affects the crystallization of reality. I will be back with more of Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes momentarily. All is truly a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils. Ashe.
Kata ulo wa ki ma ke wa we lo.
Ya ba lo wa ki ya go e.
Yo, I'm a little bit of a
Further evidence of our continued connection to the energetic presence of the past is our inability to fix or to cleanse or to repair, and then to have that to re-manifest again at a later point. And it's not easy enough to just move away from it, to turn away from it, to change away from it. Even though that time, that location may now no longer exist, the energetic presence is still forever implanted there on the person, on the environment, and with the event. There are other symptoms of that. Certain ghosts are connected to time and location. Poltergeists are connected to time and location. Generational curses, to some degree, though not completely, are also connected to time and location. Sometimes it's enough to move and start anew to get away from a generational curse, but ultimately it still has to be addressed because there's still that energetic connection, that crystallized pattern present physically in DNA and our cellular structure and in molecules and atoms of life, but also energetically within the spirit realm. So it's necessary for us, as I've said in the previous shows, to be mobile in terms of time. but in a healthy and balanced way so that it can be applied to our present magic. The only real laboratory, the only real space, the only real spiritual time of magic is now. We can access the past, we can access the future to fuel present revelation and manifestation. But ultimately it's in the now that the activity is done, is carried out, is addressed, is able to be effected for the ultimate manifestation. As we continue on the topic of time and space, time travel, we will in coming days begin to move into projective magic, manifestative magic, things that many are concerned about in terms of ritual practice and then producing a result. It will be easier for me to give that topic, having first laid down, as we have done on several shows, just talking about the very basic dynamics of time, because it will be certain words and phraseologies and ideas that will be used that will need that background information in order to keep the show moving forward fluidly and everybody on the same page. So we will begin to move into how to use time in terms of future manifestation. We've already given an example of how we plan ahead for 4 years of successful college, or how our athletes plan often for at least a decade for that 1 week of athletic event. Just some very basic examples of how we operate within the realm of future time. Things that have to be laid down. Gardening, growing of crops, farming requires ability to see forward and ahead in time. It may be required to make adjustments now in the heat of the summer, in the heat of this drought, to affect future production later in the year. Another more common basic example of how we operate within projected or future time. So when we get to spellcasting, magic, witchcraft, arts that relate to future events, it will be easier to tie one science to another for clarity and understanding as we move forward. I'm going to take just another break. I will be forward momentarily. Remember, our live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
divine, all blessed. As always, I'm humbled and appreciative of each and every one and your divine, all blessed presence in this squared circle of gods and goddesses. And I continue to invite you to join me here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio each and every day, and always on Wednesdays for EFI Wednesdays and Sundays for Congo Square Sundays. I'm appreciative of what you bring and offer to our unified community, and I offer divine joy and prosperity moving forward for each and every one of you. I continue to update the website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. I am adding some things to the temple room and also to the Queen's Chamber, so please do continue to check back. I also appreciate those of you who are buying the coffee and the books, the DVDs, the CDs, all the other various Pan-African products that are being offered on the second page of my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Until next time, remember that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Bye-bye, wow.